Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 8th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text, which has already been read. As you know, last week was VBS week, and that's always a big week here at Emmanuel. Good teachers, mostly good children, all good children. Had a lot of fun. The only time some people get homemade cookies, sang some songs, did some crafts. Oh, and we learned something about God. We learned about God. We always learn about God at Vacation Bible School. And this year, learning about God started at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you sing, you begin with do, re, mi. When you learn about God from the beginning, you start with nothing. Nothing. And then out of that nothing, God created everything. And first he made things like light, water, and air. Then he made things like plants and animals. And when the planet was ready, then the purpose for which he made creation was created. Only when everything was ready did that happen. I used my phone this week. Check the email, calendar, weather. It's going to be cloudy and maybe rain today. Set the alarm. And I have the car read to me from the phone. Used to buy an astronaut outfit from Amazon. And to talk about creation. And it goes something like this. Christians like science. The modern scientific movement, you've heard this before, was begun by Christians. Isaac Newton, Galileo, Johannes Kepler, and the like. Charles Darwin was not a Christian. Charles Darwin was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. There were many clergymen in his family. His wife was a very devout Christian, and he talks about how he wants to believe, he tries to believe, but he just can't do it. Just can't believe in God. And you know what? If you don't believe in God, then you don't believe, well, you need an alternative explanation for how all this got to be here, because for sure all this is here. So the phone also tells time. And Bishop Usher, 17th century clergyman, English into natural theology, I think he was the first to use a time teller, a watch. He used a watch to talk about the reasonableness of creation. That creation by a loving and almighty God makes the most sense for how this all got to be there. The only real rational explanation for all this. And he said, if you found a phone out in the woods, he said a watch, I said a phone, where did that watch, where did this phone come from? Which is more reasonable? To say that my phone came from an explosion, or that the people at Motorola designed and manufactured it? Which one of those two things makes more sense? God made all this. And why did God make all this? Well, it's for you. It's for you. Like you would get the nursery ready for a coming child. Like a lot of prep time went into VBS before it got here. God got everything ready, and it's for you. He made creation for us to sustain us. It's a very sustainable system. And then, and only then, Adam from dirt, Eve from Adam's rib, and they were living the life of Riley. And we don't know how long that lasted. Probably not very long. And then something kind of crazy happened. Adam found himself standing there, listening to a conversation Eve was having with a snake who was telling her lies. And Adam, he stood there and listened, unable to step in, simply proclaim the word of God and be gone, Satan. And neither could she do that. That's how, and that's when, sin came into the world. And that's how, and that's when evil began. And Christians know about good and evil. It is, we know, to be expected, both things, life in the fallen world. But you don't have to be a Christian to know about good and evil. The natural man knows about good and evil. And all over the world, people know about evil, and they can see with their eyes, they can observe. They can observe, yeah, there's evil in the world. Sometimes it's very obvious, this evil. Some Americans who were a few years ago going over to fight that religiously motivated group in the Middle East watched a documentary about them, and whenever asked why they left Detroit and Missouri to go over there, invariably they said, "We're fighting against evil. It's pure evil." Sometimes it's pretty obvious. Sometimes evil is like art. I know evil when I see it. It's there, but the atheist, and there are more and more of them all the time, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Adam and Eve, needs an alternative explanation for the existence of something that's obviously there, evil. There's a lot of books out there trying to figure out the origins of evil and sin. I told you about that Nat Geo Time magazine at Natural Grocers called The Science of Good and Evil. I haven't picked it up yet. I probably will. We've all heard of materialism. My generation grew up condemning materialism. And most people think that means we like our stuff too much. That's part of it. Materialism, though, actually as a philosophy, is to believe that it's all physical. It's all biology. It's all chemistry. There's no spiritual to it. That's materialism. So there is evil in the world. People are sinners and they sin. And God's beautiful creation has been shattered and is much broken. And the only explanation for that really is what the Bible gives. It comes from Satan. Jesus comes into this sin-filled, broken world and confronts it head-on. Into this evil world and takes on evil right before this. Like here in the text today, right before this, there had been a storm. And I wonder if the storm blew them off course, or if Jesus intended to land in this evil, ugly place called Gennesaret on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a very pagan area. As soon as he steps off the boat, in his face, a man with demons. And during his life, Jesus met several people with a demon. Mary Magdalene had seven of them. And this man has multiple demons, a lot of them. Doesn't say how many, but 2,000 pigs are about to die. That man with the multiple demons would wreak havoc. They would lock him up, he would escape, and he hurt himself. And it says they used chains to lock him up. And you know, there's rope, and then there's chains. And they used chain, which had been around for about 200 years. Chain expert Lyle was teaching his son about chain last week. He's a big fan of the quarter-inch chain. Strong, light, you don't need to lug around the trucker's chain unless you're gonna move a truck. Chain is serious business. This man was in chains and shackles. They didn't use rope, but the man broke out. The man broke out. Not supernatural, but certainly superhuman. And we know that can happen, that kind of super strength that we don't normally have. And then he would go live in the cemetery for a while. Then he would go out into the country. And maybe he got tuckered out, and they went out and caught him and put him in chains. It had been like that for a long time. And for the townspeople, he was normal. And there were probably a lot like him in that town that was normal. And there are places in the world today where demons and demon possession is in fact the norm. Demons are the norm, for example, in Madagascar off the east coast of Africa. We're doing a lot of mission work and God's making a lot of Christians there. Every Sunday during the church service, Their liturgy includes a time for casting out demons, because there are a lot of them there. And how do you cast out a demon? Well, you don't need to do all the exorcist stuff. You just pray. Just pray that God would take away the demon. That's how you do demon possession, to expel demons. We don't do that here in our liturgy. And the fact is, we don't see as much demon possession here as in Madagascar. We just don't. One of the reasons is that Satan hates the preaching of the word, like what I'm doing now. And he hates listening to people like you sing those songs of praises to God, his enemy, so he stays clear because all that hurts his ears. Other thing is that a lot of Americans just don't believe in demons. They just don't. So the father of lies finds that telling people that there's no God, this all happened by an explosion, that seems to be working better. Look in the toolbox, find the right tool for the job. Chesterton's quote, you've heard paraphrase the full quote. When men choose not to believe in God, they do not therefore believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything, like the idea that this all came from an explosion. If you want to know what explosions do, look at photos of any German city in May of 1945. Look at photos of Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of August 1945. That's what an explosion does. What is your name? Jesus asked the man. Legion, the man answered. A Roman legion was about what we would call division size, 5,000, 6,000 men. The guy had a lot of demons, And they implored urgently Jesus not to cast them into the abyss. That would be to send them home. But instead, could he please allow them to go into that herd of pigs, that one gathered grazing up there on the hills? And Jesus does not forbid it. He did not command that legion to go into the pigs, but he didn't say no. Kind of like in the Old Testament, Moses allowed divorce for the hardness of their heart, but he did not command it. And why did Jesus allow those demons to go into those pigs? Well, in this world, there is in fact a pecking order. Society is trying very hard to eliminate it. It's there. Used to be called the great chain of being. It goes back to Aristotle, 5th century BC. First is God in the pecking order. Then man, his highest creation. Then animals, then plants, then minerals. Not all of God's creation is the same. Not all are equally important. Man is the most important. We are God's highest creation. We're distinct from every other creation which is put here. It's for you. It's for you. It's why we want to take care of the earth. And there's nothing new about taking care of the planet. And that seems also to have its origins. It's a Christian thing. It's a Christian thing. From the earliest times, the church fathers lament that we're not doing a very good job of that. And we do have our moments, don't we? But we get the concept. If you own land, you want to take care of that land. Like a lot of things, that thing has been politicized, and when something gets politicized, it's not about right and good and true. It may even be about fudging with the truth to win. And some people, I think, maybe go a little bit too far, and then there's the increasing number of people who make the planet their God, and taking care of the planet their religion, and they're very zealous about it. If you watched Whale Wars, which I don't think it's on anymore, they were saving the whales, and when the guy said, I would die for one of those whales, that's how you know something's a religion. And that famous actor who says that he wakes up every morning thinking about how he can save the planet, I wonder, is that just his religion? Or does he think that he's God? But of course, we know all this to be God's creation. And that in and of itself ought to be enough to make us want to take care of it. You don't want somebody harming your creation in any way. It's one of the problems of trying to teach writing. You might have to tell this child that their creation or their painting, not quite right. Don't like it. In the world of Jesus, the focus is on the man who has been possessed for a long time with multiple demons. That's who he's going to help. And if that means the demons go into the pigs and what happens to those swine happens, that works. That works. Unlike humans, each of you is a special, unique creation of God. A pig is kind of a pig. It's kind of a commodity, and you get more of them. And just like that, the norm has been turned on its head. And the thing about demon possession, it's not permanent. No permanent damage. And when the people in town formed a gaper's block to see what's going on, they find the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The man who had been doing what the man had been doing, a lot of irrational things, was what we would call now normal. No permanent effects. The formerly demon-possessed man was so normal, in fact, that he wanted to go with Jesus. I think as much to get out of this crazy place as because of appreciation for what Jesus had done for him. It was a big deal. Big deal. And Jesus told him to stay put. This is your home. Talk to people here and declare how much God has done for you. And he did. One of the many times during his life, Jesus confronted evil in the form of demons, in the form of sin, in the form of Satan's human allies, in the form of Satan himself. And the last enemy to be confronted was death. And as he hung there suffering greatly, Satan used the mouths of soldiers, the religious leaders, the guy in the street, to tempt him not to do that, not to die on the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, they said. But he didn't, because he knew what he was here for, to take on death and to take on Satan, and he died on the cross to take away our sins. He didn't have any sins. He died because of sin, but because of our sin. So I can't see that person at Motorola who designed, made my phone, but I can see my phone. In fact, it's recording me even as we speak. And I know that the phone didn't just happen. And to think that the phone came as a result of an explosion, we can't see a lot of things. A lot of God's creation, we can see it, but a lot of it we can't see. I can't see the air, can't see the nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, can't see the wind, can't see gravity. We can see their effects, and we can't see God, but we can see the effects, his beautiful, amazing creation put here. It's for you. It's for you. And we know that all this didn't just happen. That would be crazy. We can see his creation, and we can see the effects of his creation and the effects of his new creation that God made in you when you were baptized with visible water. And if you were here on Thursday, you saw the scientist. We had a real scientist here, a fake astronaut, real scientist, took that liquid that was cloudy, that liquid that represented our sin. And the clear liquid represented Jesus. And the person poured the clear liquid into the cloudy brown liquid and cleared it up. It became clear. That's what happens when the person is baptized. All your sin is washed away. You had been counted with the sinners. You're now considered with those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ with visible water. And the bread and wine we see is the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you for the remission of your sins. But of course, the cross was not the end for Jesus. He did not stay dead, but the Father raised him from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and you're among the rest that come after that. So, we started at the beginning, a very good place to start, with creation. We ended with the ascension. Jesus returned to heaven, from whence he will come again, bringing to us what we call the church triumphant. The church triumphant. Until then, we live in the church militant. There is evil in the world, sin, Satan, and death. We look forward to the time of that resurrection into eternal life, into heaven. And what will that look like exactly? The new creation. When God destroys this creation and makes a new one, it'll look a lot like this, only without the bad things, only a lot better, kind of beyond imagination. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.